Welcome to Enterprise Systems Podcast. I'm James E. Powell, Editorial Director for ES, and your host for this program. Steve Cousins is Senior Manager of Research at IBM. I first met Steve at the Share Users Conference in Seattle, where he spoke on trends that Big Blue was watching, including the growth of event-driven technologies, as well as one that, as an ex-programmer, particularly caught my eye, which Steve calls situational application development. IT has always struggled to keep up with user demand, and now those very same users are employing more technologies than ever before to get their jobs done. From wikis to mashups, Steve discusses this development trend, the IT challenges it brings, and where development is headed.
Hi, Steve. In your share presentation, you mentioned two important trends that IBM research is tracking. One is dealing with the ever-increasing event-driven world, and the other is the acceleration of software development, what you called situational application development. And I'd like to focus on that development topic. How would you define it, and what has enabled its growth?
Hi, Jim. We define situational application development as applications that are developed closer to the lines of business, closer to the people who are going to be using them and getting benefit from them. And we see a trend toward a lot more of this as we go forward. This is coming as a large result of the ability to deploy applications efficiently over the web, and also the fact that it's not taking the same level of expertise to develop a really robust, hardened web application as it did previously. So we're seeing a lot of examples of people being able to develop a very robust client application for a very niche application market, and that's giving a lot of power to end users.
So what kind of components or tools are people using in this kind of development?
We're seeing a number of different tools. The popular ones out in the world are things like wikis and blogs, RSS for distributing information efficiently in the blog world, the Ajax tools that have come out that let you update web pages and make the whole web experience much more dynamic than it was previously. All these things allow end users to feel like they're just using a natural computer application when they're using a web, and that means that we're able to deploy things much more efficiently, more usable applications much more efficiently.
Now, are people customizing these wikis and tools, or are they simply using them out of the box?
I think they're often customized. I mean, there's some examples of things being used out of the box, but a lot of people are doing customizations of various sorts. And, of course, the tool is more akin to, like, you know, Microsoft Word or something when you talk about a wiki. It's just an authoring tool, and so everything's getting used in very creative ways. You know, Microsoft gives you some sample documents for how that you might create using Microsoft Word, but and the same thing with wikis. You'll see some samples out there, but people can be very creative with that and change the looks and the way things work dramatically. For tools, we've done some work using the Ruby on Rails framework, and in that framework, the wiki, you can just integrate that with information that's in the database that Ruby also makes very easy to access. And so we've had some examples of nicely editable pages where within the page, there's just, when you're editing it, there's one line that says, stick this table here, and then the table pulls out information from a database that's updated using different forms and things. And so you get, in a very short order, an application that's very powerful and multi-user and, you know, easy to let people coordinate.
Now, are these being implemented at the department level or corporate-wide or both?
You're seeing them, when we talk about situational applications, we're mainly talking about at the department level. You can have applications at the corporate level, and that's more the traditional framework. But, you know, in a typical Fortune 500 corporation, you have to really pay attention because you're talking about a very large number of users there. Whereas at the departmental level, you could support something on basically, you know, one PC or a couple PCs, and running the application that you need locally, because you're talking about, you know, tens or hundreds of users as opposed to tens of thousands of users potentially.
Now, in your presentation, you stressed mashups that were changing sort of the face of development. Can you explain for our listeners what a mashup is and how they're being used?
So mashup is a combination of existing software components, typically components packaged as services or web services. And so the classic mashup example is there's a service in San Francisco called Craigslist that allows people to get together and buy things online, and it started out as a mailing list and grew into a whole website. Craigslist was mashed up with Google Maps, which is another thing that Google makes available. And when the two things were combined, you were able to look at a map and see, you know, where are all the futons, queen-size futons that you're looking for, whatever it is you're looking for, you know, within a three-mile radius of yourself, you can actually see them on the map. So that was sort of the classic example of a mashup. In the corporate world, we see a lot more mashups of things like, you know, we've got, an authentication system that allows any programmer to know that somebody is a legitimate, you know, member of the corporation, a legitimate employee or not. And we really don't want every department administrator asking every end user for their password, right? You'd rather have that as a centralized service and then mash that up with whatever it is you're building. And so you get, you know, corporate-wide legitimate authentication on the one hand and yet a departmental application that can take advantage of that on the other and using local things.
What level of expertise or experience is required to use something like a mashup technology?
We think of it as, you know, it's not an end user who can basically is just going to write prose. There's some level of programming, but there's a big difference between somebody who's doing, you know, hardcore application development and somebody who, you know, has some computer science background or some programming background, IT background, and is able to build a, you know, relatively straightforward application. There's a lot of people who can use, for example, in the Microsoft world, it would be, you know, can you program a spreadsheet, right? And that level of programming, maybe a little bit more sophistication than that, but not a whole lot, is what it takes to be able to understand, you know, how do I grasp what this component can do for me and how do I actually invoke it? That's, you know, that level of simple programming is what it takes to hopefully to do a mashup.
Now, we've been talking about application development sort of at the user department level, but that raises some questions for me. It seems to me that there will be some challenges for the corporate IT world in this environment. You know, in traditional IT, a developer has to use control over the applications, and there's maintenance, and you've got to figure out who's going to maintain an application and on what schedule. And the user knows whom to call because it's a central point if something goes wrong. But if you're using mashups, it would seem to me that IT now has to have expertise in a whole lot more areas. And that would make, you know, interfaces different. It would make control and tech support different. But can you speak to what the challenges are for corporate IT in this environment?
Yeah, this is actually the central point, is that corporate IT departments have typically a reasonably fixed budget, and they've got a mission, and then they pick on tasks that they can manage. And then what happens is, you know, somebody comes along and says, well, I really need this other application. And there's a very strong tension between the people who say, look, I want the thing customized for my department, and I'll do it myself if I have to, and the IT administrators who realize that the person who said that may be gone in 2 years. And what's going to happen is the department's dependent on that technology now, and all of a sudden it's going to fall to them. So IT departments can be terrified of this because it can really mess with the way things work. But that doesn't mean that we should just step back and say, forget it. We're not going to, you know, let anybody have the kind of custom applications that make the most sense for the lines of business. What we need to do is find a creative way to support that. And that's the challenge for IT. And my suggestion is that what IT departments ought to do is embrace mashups and support the components that are going to be mashed up. Build as high-level components as they can, and look at what people need so that the departmental applications end up being very simple. You'd like to think of a departmental application as being, you know, say 1 to 5 pages of code that's basically glue code that's integrating other components and have all the components that are being integrated supported by the corporate IT. In that kind of world, you have kind of the best of both worlds. You have the hard things to do, the things that are challenging and that need, let's say, the database backend, the authentication, other kinds of access to corporate information sources. All those things are treated as high-level things that are services that the IT department supports. And then the departmental applications can be relatively simple combinations of those other pieces. That's a strategy to try to keep the IT function coherent and supportable, and yet also allow these situational applications to bloom.
Now, what about the control issue? I know that one of the problems that you have, even if you create core components for users to use, is just like Excel macros, you have all these little applications running around in the corporation. Is that a problem? And how do you get control?
Well, I guess the question is, what level of control do you need? So if you look at an example of a small Excel macro, well, that's really closer to a situational application without the mashup component, right? It's some simple little thing. And yes, there's an issue if people are using them, but today we don't stop that, right? Today people are going to run whatever macros they need. But if there's one macro is better than another, if we can use some of the social networking technology that's coming around to let people know that, this particular version is the right one. You know, we do this all the time in the open source world. You look out, there's thousands of versions of Emacs out there, and yet most people use, one of three or four versions. And those are the ones that the website says, hey, this is the most recent, these are stable, everybody agrees, these are the known problems. And so once you identify what are the important functions that people need, and if you have some way to let people choose which version of those functions makes sense, you can manage some of this and handle some of the trust issues.
Now, all the development that we've been talking about so far is pretty much either PC or web-based. So what does this mean for the mainframe?
I quipped in my talk that when we look at when I started out in computer science maybe 20 years ago or so, I thought the mainframe was dead, and I'm not going to make that mistake again. But I looked at how mainframes are used today, you see a mainframe often hosting a number of web servers, and it's popular because it's got the ability to have maybe one system administrator manage it, as opposed to the number of administrators you would need for, 100 web servers that you can run on top of that one mainframe. So when you make the distinction between a web server and a mainframe, and I just look at mainframes as one kind of computer that can support that back end. The PCs, I think, are becoming more and more, sometimes they're used in server modes, but then it's back to the web server. When PCs are used as end-user devices, we're actually moving more and more toward web-based. It's basically a platform for the web browser, right? And the PC has become somewhat commoditized. And so you see people using Macintoshes or PCs or even Linux boxes, and they're running, Firefox or Internet Explorer or Safari. They're accessing the same applications, and that's the PC side. It's just a web browser, but the web browser is getting much, much more capable because of Ajax and because of extensions that are now allowed in the browser.
Well, I know you may be averse to making predictions, certainly 20 years out. What about 1 or 2 years out? What do you see for the direction of situational application development?
I say over the next couple of years, we're going to see a lot more or a trend toward more and more situational applications being developed. When we look out, 2 or 3 years, we're going to see also a number of applications that are going to start to be focused on not just the PC-based web browsers, but also to web browsers that are running on other clients. You're starting to see already web browsers in small portable gaming devices. You're starting to see networks in you know, networks accessed from phones. And those things are going to all provide their own set of challenges. But I would say for situational applications, you know, we'll see some solid components coming out of IT departments at progressive companies, and we'll see people starting to combine those things and create interesting applications. And then the users will hopefully flock to them, but if not, you know, that feedback will be local to the department, and that local feedback will help those things evolve quickly, and you'll see best-of-breed situational applications, which will then maybe get picked up by IT departments or picked up by just neighboring departments.
So you definitely see growth in this whole area.
I certainly do, yeah.
Good. Well, Steve, thank you very much for your time.
Thanks, Jim. I've really appreciated talking with you.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. For more insight into IT development, check out the Enterprise section of our homepage at www.esj.com. There you'll also find the latest IT technology news updated daily. And be sure to check the Enterprise Strategies newsletter, our ES RSS feed, or the ESJ homepage for information about our next podcast.